The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Now, earlier on The Hard Shoulder, we spoke to Dhirani Gallagher from the How to Gael podcast on their new six-part series within the podcast, which is called How to Unite Ireland. And for more on this, I'm joined by Trevor Ringland, former unionist politician and former Irish rugby player. Good evening to Trevor. And what Dhirani was basically saying earlier was that she thinks it's a great idea to open up the conversation on how to unite Ireland in a fresh new way, where everyone would feel included. And she said she thought particularly younger unionists would be open to this and ready to have the conversation. What's your view?
Well, I think that there's really amongst the broad pro-union British Irish family, there's really no appetite for that discussion. Not for, I hate sometimes to think of it in a negative way. I think maybe if we look at it in a more positive way, that after the agreement in 1998, which the people on the whole island supported, we've actually managed to get to a fairly good place, which isn't always appreciated, particularly by those who push for constitutional change. And it's Northern Ireland that's settling down and is actually doing quite well at the minute in a whole lot of measurements. The Northern Ireland Life and Times survey that's carried out every year in 2024, the most recent one, really identified that 79% of people are happy enough and only 6% are not. And various polling that's done on the constitutional question shows a sort of 60-40, 65-35 split in favour of maintaining the status quo. But I think examination of the status quo is really important when having this discussion, because I think it's really one that we should be focusing on is building better relations in Northern Ireland, across the island and between these islands. And if we focus on that, we actually see a pretty good story. In Northern Ireland, relationships are improving all the time. We're doing pretty well. Economically, unemployment is quite low, and a whole range of aspects that, our society is settling down and building a shared society. There's still challenges there, yes. There's still problems from the past that still have to be taken on. But it's actually doing quite well, and people here are more relaxed. There's a growing sense of Northern Irish identity as well, which has to be taken into consideration. And a lot of young people aren't as easily defined in the way that they were in the past. And also, there's sort of a focus by many of those who are promoting constitutional change on demographics, and it's such a terrible way to actually try and define people. It's really hatred by another name. And a lot of people sort of reject that the simple labels that people apply to them. Then on the All-Ireland basis, there's over 200 All-Ireland bodies already exist, and it's sort of an underappreciated story again, that many of us have worked out the relationship in the island that we're comfortable with, and Irish rugby being one of them. In 1922, when Ireland was partitioning, the Irish rugby team was fourth in the Five Nations Championship. And when people talk about the using of violence and say there was no alternative, I just point at examples like that and many others and say there was always an alternative way to do relationships on this island.
I accept what you're saying, and I think the North has come a long way since the time of the Troubles and even much before that. But what you're sort of saying is, look, we're doing okay, let sleeping dogs lie. And that does support the status quo, which, you know, you're talking about demographics. There is going to be an increasing possibly nationalist majority going forward, and you're saying, well, you don't run a society based on demographics. But I think many in the nationalist community would say, well, that was exactly how Northern Ireland was run for many, many years by the loyalist or the unionist majority. It was run along the lines of demographics. And why shouldn't we now, as a majority of nationalists, why shouldn't we hold sway about what happens in the North in the same way that the unionists were able to hold sway at one stage when they were in the majority? Is that not democracy?
Well, I think if you look at democracy, I think the statistics actually don't show any growth in the political world for a demand for constitutional change or support for those parties that are advocating it. So that's actually not the situation here. I think increasingly people are, as I say, being more relaxed about things. And they say the status quo is actually a reasonably dynamic thing. You know, we're constantly finding ways of working better together here and across the island and between the islands. If you look even at the defence, the agreement was reached between United Kingdom and the Republic of Ireland fairly recently.
And indeed, we saw our Taoiseach stick up for Keir Starmer in the Oval Office recently too. Yeah. So I appreciate all of that. But even if it isn't the case that people are voting for political parties along these lines, I suppose what the question is whether or not a border poll, should it be taken, would reflect those things. And if it doesn't reflect things, well, then that's the end of that question. But if it does, that's a different matter, isn't it?
No, but I think the border poll will obviously, you know, immediately create a sort of divisive argument. So I think that there are as a basis for which that border poll might be called. And I think it's probably only going to be called if it's likely that there would be an appetite for constitutional change. And as I said, the statistics just don't show that. Demographics is also, it's such a crass way of actually assessing our society. You know,
yet, as I say, it was used against the nationalist community for a long time. And then eventually change was kind of affected where minority positions were protected, you know, in Stormont, for example, first and second ministers and all that kind of stuff. I mean, the same could happen in reverse should the unionist grouping become the minority. But what I want to ask you is, one of the things Dearen said was she sort of said, people don't really care about religion and things like that anymore. She, you know, it's quite an optimistic interview she did, and you know, there were people texting in that saying it was a bit naive, in fact, along our from our text line. But do you think that should a border poll happen, and I have no doubt that if it did happen there would be campaigning around it and things like that, do you have a fear that campaigning along the lines of the idea of United Ireland, that it would inflame sectarian tensions north of the border and make things worse? That it isn't a question of whether it's a vote between a United Ireland and Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland. It's a vote between peace and the status quo.
The actual reality of the statistics is there is no appetite for a border poll in Northern Ireland. There's no basis in which a border poll would be won anytime soon. The other is that let's also recognise that we avoided a civil war in Northern Ireland, and that would have spread to the greater part of the island as well, and we're fortunate to do that. So we're unpicking the damage that was done by those times, and that's a long-term project, and it's actually working quite well as people are increasingly showing themselves prepared to take the small steps and build relationships across the divides that previously they weren't able to do so. And also that we agreed in 1998 that we would share this place and share this place together and create as Seamus Mallon quite well put, a shared home place for everybody here. I think one of the things to understand about Northern Ireland, it was always going to be a cultural corridor between the sort of the rest of the UK and the Republic of Ireland. And what we have here is a society that can reflect all the different cultural and ethnic differences and religious differences on the island. And it shows a capacity in Northern Ireland to manage to do that, you know. And I have great friends across the Republic of Ireland, and great friends already kind of always had a great experience across it. But I think there's a basis to it that they struggle really to accommodate that British tradition. And there's about over a million people who are from the British tradition on the island. And you have to show as well that you can accommodate that cultural and ethnic and political.
So a last question for you then. Do you, that shared home place, which is a lovely way of describing it, is that possible for the unionist community, do you not believe, within a United Ireland? You mentioned all the different traditions. Is it not entirely possible that within the island of Ireland as a whole, as a United Ireland, that we could respect each other's traditions, that someone like myself who grew up south of the border, that I could respect your tradition just as you could respect mine, and we could all do it under one island?
Well, I call it the separate yet together model that currently exists. And we're doing that already. That's working as it is. And that's providing a peaceful future for Northern Ireland.
But I'm getting at, could we not do that without the border?
Well, I think that what I would constantly say is just build relationships. And I have advised the Irish government on this. And this place will go wherever it goes. The island will go wherever it goes. But there's still an awful lot of work to be done on building those relationships and showing the capacity to include that British tradition on the island.
Trevor England, former unionist politician and former Irish rugby player, thank you for joining us.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.